coming from the Fan Duty Studios in Buffalo, New York. Welcome to Caveman Corner with your host, Jeff.
Captain Caveman!
Tense. I fucked up, Caveman.
That's all right. You did pretty good. This is our last show in Fan Duty Studios.
I was going to ask you, you wanted me to mention Fan Duty Studios since
the last. We're still here for the last one, so we can still mention them.
Okay.
We'll be moving location soon. But for our last guest, we couldn't have anyone better. We got Professor Gannon in here. How you doing, Professor Matt?
Good. Thanks for having me.
It's awesome to have you on the show. We're continuing our black belt series. We're trying to get all the black belts in the area on the show. And we got a big one on today. Yeah. Figuratively and literally.
I was going to say, thanks for mentioning my size.
That's how we do it here. No punches pulled. So what's it like? I know you left WNY MMA. You're over at Spar now. Can you talk about that a little bit? I guess we got to start there.
Sure. Well, Spar's predominantly a Krav Maga school, but we're now offering, 8 adult jiu-jitsu classes a week, evenings Monday through Thursday, and starting next month, January, we're offering 4 kids classes a week too, so that's exciting. Great place, super clean, family-friendly environment, just like the atmosphere is great. It's just fun to be there, no egos, everyone's cool.
Awesome. It seems like it's a super nice school. I've never really been in there yet. I know we were cross-training for a while. I was never able to make it over there. I'm pretty busy. But I'm glad you're finally over there. It seems like it's a good move for you. Can you talk about why you left WNY? Is there any particular reason or just this opportunity?
Fine. Yeah, well, I wasn't necessarily like jumping to leave WNY MMA. I'd been looking for looking at locations, scouting things out. I'd planned on actually starting my own thing. And then the folks at Spar heard that and they said they'd really like to have me there, and it was, I think, mutually beneficial to both of us. So it just worked out that I was teaching there twice a week already, and now I'm there much more, teaching more classes. So
no bad blood or anything, just a good opportunity for you to go?
Yeah, no bad blood at all. Still respect Dub. Think WNY May, I like just about everyone there, so I've got no bad blood there. Had a lot of fun there, still have a lot of friends there, and no issues.
I was a little sad that you left right when you left because you taught the Wednesday class and never really got to make the Wednesday class because obviously MMA and jiu-jitsu is at the same time, so I really didn't get a lot of chances to train with you.
Right.
But I was working with your son, man. It was so cool to see you and see Augusto and you, and it was actually nice to start to develop a relationship with you. I'm sorry we missed out on that.
Yeah, it kind of came up quick. I don't know, I'd still planned on teaching at WNYMA, and then there's like one more class that I would have taught that month, and I was still going to teach it. You know, I would have kept teaching as long as Dub wanted me, but he just decided to cut it then. Don't know if he was worried about me trying to poach students or anything, so it worked out, so no issues. Yeah, my kid still talks about Coach Matt and Coach Caveman, and he loved it, so. Yeah.
It's good. Sorry I had to cut class short a little bit. I was always up training when Coach Gannon walked in. Tough, but it was good. I'm glad we got all together and got a little bit of training together. Can you talk about how you ended up at WNY MMA? I'm sure that's a pretty good story, too.
Okay, well, let's see. I don't even know where to start. it's a long story. So I'll start with, when I started at WNY MMA. So when WNY MMA started in Lockport, I was already training with Chuck in Jamestown. And Chuck started teaching classes up there. And actually, the first class I taught was at the original WNY MMA location when Chuck went to Carlson's funeral or services when he died. But I was up there training for the most part. Roscoe, if you know who Roscoe is, Roscoe and I would drive Chuck from Jamestown up to Lockport in Chuck's car. Chuck would teach class. We'd usually eat on the way there, eat again on the way home. So it was fun at the time. But there's like no work where I'm at in Pennsylvania. So I took the chance to move up to Lockport. And even while I was training at WNY, I thought Lockport and Buffalo, same thing. You know, turns out that not quite. But so I moved up to Lockport, Roscoe and I did, and still was cheap. Like I'd train with Chuck while he was there. I think maybe I was teaching 1 or 2 days a week when Chuck wasn't there. I can't remember for sure. But then Chuck decided to break off and right around the same time, maybe even a little bit before Chuck broke off, I stopped training with Chuck because, you know, I had to stick with my friend Roscoe at the time, and he and Roscoe got into some sort of disagreement, and I think Chuck kicked Roscoe out. And then it just so happened that was right when Chuck was leaving to start at Bill Adams, I think it was the Bill Adams first. And then Jesse and Parker, who owned W1YMMA at the time, asked me to teach. That was at Blue Belt. So I taught there. I don't even want to guess years right now. I can't think of it. So I taught there for quite a while. And then Jordan Schultz and Dub left Chuck, and they started coming up to WNYMMA when I was on vacation, or actually my honeymoon in Brazil. So during that time, I guess they hired Dub and Jordan to teach, and I started teaching at Kintora Judo Club. We just had a class, I think at the time, one day a week. I taught jiu-jitsu.
Did that kind of suck for you? I don't mean to interrupt you, but did they like they kind of undercut your teaching right while you were out of town?
You know, at the time, maybe I was mad, but I think it worked out better in the long run. So I, you know, no hard feelings for any of those guys, you know. So I taught at Kintora, and then Babu, his family, and I opened the Buffalo Training Center, which was this huge school, like much too big for its own good. And I taught there for around a year. And there were business disagreements between me and his family and him. So I told him, like, if these weren't resolved, I was going to leave. Well, they weren't resolved. Like, you know, in my mind, you can't have people fighting MMA if they don't train. So, and like, my name was attached to it, and I didn't want that. So if they go out there and get beat up or submitted in 2 seconds, you know, oh, Matt Godden's the jiu-jitsu coach there. So it looked bad on me. So I stopped teaching there, and I was teaching 2 or 3 days at Kintora. And this was for a while. And then Dub made me an offer to come over there and consolidate stuff. And so I started teaching at W1YMMA again once it was in Buffalo. So our students merged over there. And I was there for several years, from purple through black, at W1YMMA. Dub and I got our black belts same day from Jacare. And I think that's the kind of short version of the story. I'm sure it's much longer in real life.
I remember that day when you guys got your black belts. It was awesome.
Yeah, definitely. Good thing. Like, my friend Jake just got his black belt from Pittsburgh, and I was just talking to him. It's like, I always knew I'd get my black belt, but when I got it, it was just like, oh man, I can't believe this. And even still, it's like, I look at my black belt, I'm like, man, I'm a black belt. Now it's been, what, 4 years later or something, and I still can't believe I'm a black belt. And he said, like, he went to grab his gi for his first time teaching as a black belt. He grabbed his brown belt just because it's so it was habit, you know. So it's unbelievable to be a black belt still. Like, I love jiu-jitsu so much. It's just, you know, I can't believe it still.
Can you talk about the difference in your path through jiu-jitsu than, like, someone that's coming up through jiu-jitsu now? Because most of our listeners are a little bit younger than me and you, to be honest with you. And right now, there's a lot of black belts in Buffalo. When I started, there was none.
Yeah, definitely. So I was thinking about this recently. So let's say the jump from white to blue belt. Back in the day, a blue belt probably wasn't that good technically, but if you were a blue belt, you were tough. Like, we didn't have all the techniques. We couldn't go on YouTube to search for techniques. We couldn't go on MG in Action, the Mendez Brothers sites, all these. There's so many resources for jiu-jitsu techniques now. We used to be able to get Grappling Magazine or a few books. Or
some Panther videos. Yeah, I got Panther videos.
I was going to get there next. So the books, you know, that has this picture, this picture, this picture. But you have no idea what happened between this picture and that picture. So you just had to make it up, basically. And then there was also the videos. And there were DVDs at the time, but there were not jiu-jitsu instructional DVDs yet. It was still at that point where they're still all on VHS. So you'd have to rewind, play, rewind, play, rewind, play. And those videos were horrible. It was probably worse than the books, most of them.
And there was like $60 of VHS.
Yeah,
right?
They were so expensive.
Yeah, they were insanely expensive.
The Mario Sperry ones I spent a fortune
on. Yeah, definitely. Those were probably Mario Sperry's videos from back in the day are still one of the best instructionals. He says tons of funny stuff in it, but I think the techniques are still good. So yeah, when you were a blue belt, or when you got your blue belt back then, there weren't many blue belts. Like, you'd think, oh, like a blue belt was a black belt in any other martial arts, people always used to say. Now, jiu-jitsu's popular, and there's lots of blue belts. Of course, the area has lots of, quite a few black belts now. I think the level of blue belt now, technically, is far superior to a blue belt in, what was it, early to mid-2000s. Like I said, back then you were tough, like, you just had to win. We didn't have that many techniques, so the ones that we knew, we were pretty good at.
Right.
Now, there's so much information out there. You've got blue belts doing, like, barambolos and all this crazy stuff. Like, when I was a blue belt, I couldn't imagine doing that stuff, you know? But just because the ability to learn it is out there, to see it, you can go on YouTube and you see 50 videos on how to do a basic armbar. And everyone may have their different version of it. And one of those, you're going to be like, oh, that's the one that works for me. So people have so much more information out there to pick from. And also back in the day, I think it took a lot longer to get a blue belt. I think this, I don't want to say the standards were higher. I just think the standards were different. Like I said, you had to be tough back then to be a blue belt. Not saying that the blue belts now aren't tough. It's just a kind of different tough.
I feel like you almost had to earn your blue belt back in the day by rolling or tournaments. Not like technique.
Yep,
and
I agree.
Pretty slick. Also, another difference is there's a lot of color belts on the mat. When first started, I think the only blue belts on the mat were Dub and Jordan, to be honest with you.
Yeah,
Jordan might have been purple then. But those were the only two color belts on the mat. Everyone else was white belts, so we were all, like, lost together.
Yeah, I know. Like, I remember the first time I ever rolled with a black belt is when I was in Brazil, and that was almost 5 years after starting jiu-jitsu. No, more than 5 years after. 4 or 5 years after starting jiu-jitsu. Like, there weren't black belts here. My instructor at the time was a purple belt, and then my instructor when I left Chuck was a black belt in Toronto, but I didn't roll with them. Like, now, at every school, I think every school except for maybe one in the area has a black belt. Like, you got to take those chances. If you can roll with a black belt, jump on it, no matter which black belt it is, because you're all lucky to have so many black belts in the area to get a chance to roll with.
When I started, Chuck was a brown belt even. Mm-hmm. There was no black belts.
Yep.
It was nuts.
I think there was a couple in Rochester probably.
Yeah.
I think there was maybe, there was a purple belt in Erie.
We had Eshfia for a little bit.
Yeah, Eshfia's.
But then he was gone.
Yeah.
So who was the first black belt in Buffalo?
Eshfia, probably, right?
I'd say Eshfia. Yeah, I'm trying to remember dates. I think he was probably teaching in like Cheektowaga area. Is that like?
Yeah, Holly and D-Zack had him in for a while. Yeah, yeah. He's living with them.
That Horizon studio?
No,
he did one seminar there, but he was teaching at a Taekwondo place on Genesee Street.
Yeah, like, was it Cross Training Academy of Martial Arts or something?
And we just ran out that little space and we were training there with him.
Yeah, and I guess he used to go over and do judo at Kentora. He's friends with my wife and my brother-in-law. So he was here for a little bit. Then I think he got a job opportunity in Texas and took off. Funny enough, later on, I got a chance to roll with Shviha in Rochester when he came back from a seminar. I'd never been wrist locked before, and I got wrist locked by him about a million times in 5 minutes.
He was so big, like, it was almost useless when I rolled him. He just, like, slapped me around.
The thing is, he was so big, but he was also very technical.
Yeah.
Like, I'm a pretty big guy, but he's much bigger than me, and he was fluid. Like, if he wanted to use his weight, like, he'd destroy some people for sure.
God. It's such a different journey now. And the other day, it really brought the focus. I saw Michael Schultz. He's just working with Ashley. And I couldn't imagine, like, being a blue belt and just having a black belt work with me.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
sure.
It's so different, their journey.
Yeah, I can't imagine. Like,
can you imagine having a black belt girlfriend?
I could imagine that, but I don't.
I'm not going to imagine. I can picture my wife being a black belt someday. There we go.
Yeah. Okay. Me too. That cares to be a black belt someday.
I don't want to get you guys.
When I'm like a fifth degree black belt and I can finally promote her, she'll be a black belt. She kicks my butt.
Could you give me a black belt?
No, I'm giving you a black belt. You got to lay off the Burger King first. Okay. You're going to get a black belt from him.
And that's another thing. Nowadays, there's so many women that train. Like, I know WNYMMA has probably maybe 10, I'm guessing. I could be way off. And I don't know what they have at the other schools. I know Lake Effect has some women. We have probably like 5 at Spar already. So the chances for women to train is great now. I know it's can be probably pretty scary for a woman to come into a class full of sweaty, stinky guys. But now there's, if you do have that fear, now there's women at probably every gym. So you can at least ease your way into starting with some women to roll with. And then you can beat up the guys.
So those girls are tough. There's a lot of Dusty Rose. Brandon Muckle's girlfriend is a killer. I just rolled her the other day. For the first time, maybe like 3 or 4 months ago, getting ready for my fight, dude, and she was kicking my butt. I can't believe she's still a blue belt.
Yeah, she's really good for sure. Ashley's good. Then we've got some white belts that are going to be killers at Spar. I was actually rolling with the one woman, Sarah, the other day. And I was rolling light with her. She hit a loop choke on me I did not see coming. Like, I didn't expect it in a million years. I tapped. And then I was watching her roll the next day, and she's hitting more loop chokes. Like, that's her move for sure.
Yeah. Man, when I started, white belts didn't even know what a loop choke was.
I know.
Like, we didn't even know the right grips, to be honest with you.
Definitely.
It was so different.
Like, thinking back on it, like, white belts could barely armbar back then, and now it's that information that's out there. It's insane.
Yeah, YouTube's awesome. You guys are so lucky.
Yes.
What makes a blue belt?
I think it differs between students. Depends on what the student's goals are. If the student wants to be a world champion, they're going to have to be tough, know lots of techniques, and be able to do them. If a student wants to come in and have fun, maybe it's not so strict for them. I think anyone can be a blue belt. It's going to take a lot longer, in my mind, for the hobbyist to get a blue belt as opposed to the guy that's in there training nonstop, training hard, competing, training. You know, I think training a lot and competing is going to speed up your process for two reasons. You're going to learn more the more you're training, and you're going to get better because you're training more. And I should clarify, though, maybe not just training a lot, because you got to be in there and actually learning and trying. Some people can come to class, they're there every day, man, they still don't know how to shrimp. They've been there for 2 years. It's like, man. Or they don't know how to tie their belt. That's one thing. I won't promote someone to blue belt if they can't tie their belt.
Mickey's never getting promoted ever.
And then there's the guys that come for self-defense, fitness. You know, I think there's a blue belt for every goal, let's say. And even for the competitor. Maybe there's the competitor that the main, they want to compete, but the main tournament they do is the Buffalo Open, the Buffalo Classic. Then there's the competitor that wants to do the Worlds. You know, there's different forms of competitors in my mind. True. I don't think everyone can be held to the same standard.
Awesome. I like that answer. Do you think it relies more on technique and adhering to a curriculum, like the Alliance-style curriculum, like we do at WNY MMA? Or do you think it should be more old school, like the old style rolling, or just when a professor thinks you're ready for promotion?
I have a curriculum. But in my mind, everyone's jiu-jitsu is their own jiu-jitsu. So let's say you've got a 300-pound former NFL player or something, right? They're going to be super athletic. They might play top game, or their guard is different. I don't want to see everyone do the same scissor sweep. Of course, I have the scissor sweep in my curriculum. However, maybe that's not the technique that's good for them. Maybe that's not what they do. Maybe they play lasso guard and they have 500 sweeps from there. Of course, I want them to know the scissor sweep, but the scissor sweep's not their jiu-jitsu. Like, my jiu-jitsu and Jeff's jiu-jitsu, Ray's jiu-jitsu, all of our styles are different.
Wow, you said you got jiu-jitsu, Ray.
No, let me tell you about Ray. Ray used to come to the competition classes as a white belt. He'd come in there and get the shit beat out of him. But he'd get back in line, come back through. He was there, man. Ray was tough. It was sad when he disappeared. Like, Ray had a lot of good things going for him. He's got to start training again for sure.
I agree.
Oh, yeah.
You still owe me $10 from our grappling match.
Oh, yeah.
Did you see that?
I watched it.
Yeah, we did it live.
Live on Facebook.
Yeah. Ray bet me he couldn't survive for 10 minutes. And he couldn't.
And that was, I had a dirty shirt on.
Did you hear about the shirt he wore?
I did not hear about that.
He had this shirt sitting in his bag for like months. It stunk so bad. Like, I was, the first time I grabbed him, I was like, argh! It was so gross. I felt like I was going to get ringworm just touching him.
Good strategy.
Yeah, it worked out really well. That first exchange on the ground was gross.
Yeah, north-south position.
Oh, I almost let you up, man. That was brutal.
It was a good plan, Ray. Good plan. Real quick, if you come to spar, don't come in with your stinky stuff.
Okay. His gi was like so nice and pristine white, and then he had that dirty purple shirt on. So gross. Your wife trains too. Do you guys get to spend a lot of time together training?
Actually, she hasn't been training much. Now that the kids' classes are starting up, she's planning on training again. Got her a new gi. She seems excited. I hope she comes back to training. I know with work and having kids and stuff, she definitely put it on the back burner. But she was real good when she trained. So I'm hoping, you know, when she gets back into it, that all comes back to her. I think she'll do awesome once she starts training again. So.
Was she training at judo before or jiu-jitsu?
Yeah, she trained at judo. I met her when I went to Contora the first time. And then she started coming up to W1MMA. They had one judo class a week. That maybe only lasted a couple months. That wasn't very long. That was at the original location. So she came up there, and then she started doing jiu-jitsu. I think I must have used my charm on her because she started training. And then, I don't know, several years later, we're married and have kids. And
that's awesome. Yeah. What do you think about dating at the gym?
You know what? It worked for me. However, it's not easy. I can definitely see it could cause problems. Like if there's a breakup, let's say, you know, I'm sure that causes some awkward moments, or let's say maybe this person let's say team A, they're friends with the guy. Team B is friends with the girl. And, you know, now team A won't go with the people from team B or something. I could see that happening. I don't know. I think if someone chooses the date in the gym, just be careful. If there's problems, keep them out of the gym. Depending on the problem. If it's a major problem, maybe it needs to be known in the gym so the person's not there any longer or something.
Right. Are you referring to stuff that's happened before? Or?
I have no comment because I don't know of legal ramifications, but I will say if you do something that is, in my mind, morally wrong, I'm not going to be friends with you or want to be associated with you or anything. So,
I gotcha. I know Ray doesn't know what we're talking about, but we'll tell you after.
But, you know, I would like my girl to join the gym, train.
Yeah.
I think that'd be awesome.
That'd be cool.
I think it's great. You know, I think jiu-jitsu has got to be the best form of, let's say, rape prevention. Look where you are, the guard. Like, if you can, let's say, heel strike to the face and shrimp to get out, that's where it is. Like, jiu-jitsu's great for women's self-defense, rape defense, anything like that. So.
I agree with that. I love that I train my wife sometimes. We don't really train that much anymore, but it's when we do get in there, it's good.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, hopefully in the future that could happen for me, my wife, my son. Yeah.
We get our wives training together, so while we're at podcasting, I train jiu-jitsu. Keep us out of trouble. So you're still competing. You want to talk about your last journey to no-gi?
Yeah. I don't really train no-gi at all, so it was quite the challenge. But
I was going to ask if you ever trained. I've never seen you train without the top on.
You know, I actually used to like consistently train no-gi at like the original W1MMA location. And I think I was actually probably better no-gi than gi. But I fell in love with the gi, and like, when you only have so much time to train, you want to train what you like the most, I guess. So I focused on the gi. Then I had the opportunity to come up to go to No-Gi World, so how can I pass it up? Going to California in the middle of Buffalo's cold season, which it wasn't really warm in California either, but whatever.
What a ripoff.
So we go out there. I lost my first match. I think I did. It was probably the best I've done at a major IBJJF tournament. I lost, but I think I had a good match. Ended up getting submitted when I was trying stuff, you know. I think I did the best that I could at the time. Like, watching the match back, I'm like, well, I should have done this there or that there. But for as prepared as I was, I went out there and I gave it what I got. And I didn't win, so The only time I really get mad is if I lose and I don't do my best, or I don't try my best. John Canestaro went out and he got a silver medal. He went against some tough guys. He's got the mat burn all over his face and head to show for it. But we went out there, we competed, had fun, ate a lot of food. It was great.
It looked like you guys had a great time. I seen some of his social media and your social media. I was glad that you made it out there representing Buffalo. Yeah, any, good.
I honestly, if people are interested in competing at, from whatever school, if you go to these big tournaments, it's fun. Like, especially if you're a jiu-jitsu nerd, you see all your jiu-jitsu heroes. And at least Nogi Worlds and, like, Masters Worlds, it's kind of seemed a little more laid back than some of the other tournaments. You know, a lot of people are there having fun as opposed to everyone's mindset on kill. So get out there and have fun. Put Buffalo on the map.
Now, are you a fan of Hicks and Gracie?
You know what? I don't want to say I'm a huge Hickson fan. I don't think I've ever been... Like, some people are, like, mystified by him. He's this great name. And he, don't get me wrong, amazing jiu-jitsu, right? But I don't think I worship anybody, let alone Hicks and Gracie. And, of course, he's done some great things for jiu-jitsu, some great things in mixed martial arts, has produced a lot of good guys. I'm a little disappointed with what happened with this guy, David Armbach. I can't remember his name for sure. You know, now that he spoke out against it, but it took, what, like 3 weeks of public scrutiny.
They said that he received a lot of emails about it, too. The guy that was, I forgot what the other guy's name was, but he emailed Hickson personally about it a few times.
Yeah, it's like, I think it was one of those things where if it didn't blow up publicly, Hickson wouldn't have said anything. So, you know, I guess I lost, not that I worshipped him, but I lost some respect for him, you know. I have I don't want to say it. There's nothing worse in the world than someone that molests children. I don't know exactly what his crime is listed in as in the crime report, but he did something with a child. He pled guilty to it and took a lesser sentence, is what I believe it happened. Right. And I have
still running the kids program at his school.
Yeah, exactly. Wow. Whether or not the court of law says you can be around children or not, you know, there's nothing worse than molesting a child in my mind. So
that's true.
Especially when you're a parent, it really hits you home.
Yeah,
a little
yeah,
more.
Definitely. Like I
for sure.
I can't imagine if I was sending my kid to some school or some martial arts school and then found that out. Like, I can't imagine. Like, that's rough. I'm sure he's not advertising that this happened. No. I know he's got a thing on his website, like, that's kind of completely denying it. However, he pled guilty, which is
right
confusing to me.
Yeah, that's something you can't plead guilty to no matter what the lesser sentence is. If you didn't do it, you can't. If it has something to do with children and a bad touch them, you got to be not guilty. Plead to it, you probably did something.
Yeah, right. Definitely.
I mean, because who's going to admit to doing anything with a kid if you didn't do something even worse, probably.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That's scary to me.
Yeah, that is.
Yeah, so I think any person like that has no place in Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, no place in martial arts in general. Like, you know, maybe no place in society. So.
Yeah, I agree with you.
I agree.
What do you think about the IBJJF rule set? I know you're a referee, too.
Yeah, you know, a lot of people think that I just love the IBJJF. I've got some major issues with the IBJJF, but at the time, I think it's the best rule set out there that can operate with like a tournament actually functioning and you not being there for days and days and days. And even some of the stuff that I didn't like before, after taking the referee certification or the referee's course through the IBJJF, I learned some like of the reasons why they do it. So some people say if you're mounted and you roll them over, why don't you get sweep points, right? Well, it's not a sweep because it's not happening from any sort of guard. But the benefit of you reversing them from mount to being in their guard is you're not mounted. You know,
that's, right.
In a street fight situation, you just made yourself better, probably. And the basis of the IBJJF rules is off of that street fight. I know it's kind of silly with some of the positions and techniques that are used now, but it makes sense. So you go from bottom to top with a sweep, you're using some sort of guard, some sort of technique to get out, to get on top. In a street fight situation, you can punch them in the face now. Same goes with the reversal, but the reversal is a little less technique. And I used to think, like, well, why isn't there side control points, right? Because you don't get points for having side control. But if you get side control, chances are you got guard pass points. Like, you're not just going to fall from the heavens and land in side control. So the point system, I don't have an issue with. I don't even have an issue with the reaping, or I guess I do have a little issue with the reaping rule. I don't think it's as big as everyone makes it out to be. I don't think it puts you in any more danger or any less danger than someone going for an armbar on you. I think maybe like knee bars, let's say, should be allowed at blue or purple. Maybe save the calf crushes and bicep crushes till purple, brown. And foot locks, same thing. Like, I think the submissions should be opened up a little bit more. But I understand they're trying to protect the lower belts. But, you know, most schools, or maybe not most schools, but a lot of schools already train them at white belt. I think just because it's not allowed in a tournament doesn't mean you shouldn't know it. I can understand there not being a heel hook in the gi, just because, you know, it can get stuck and some damage to be done. I don't think the knee reap rule, you know, I've been reaped, you know, probably thousands of times. My knee hasn't exploded or burst into flames. What else? You know, I wish IBJJF rule set would have faster stalling calls. So let's say they're standing for a minute, then maybe they might hand out a penalty. Sometimes even longer. I think it should be like 20, 30 seconds. And even then, if there's not a takedown, they give both people penalties. Where I think maybe one's going for takedown, and they just can't get it.
Yeah, that's what happened in the kids' match. And I was like, and I asked the referee after the match, because you can't talk to him before. And he's like, if it's on the feet, they're both stalling.
Yeah.
I'm like, my guy's like shooting takedown after takedown after takedown.
Yeah.
And the kid's running, you know, like, it's tough.
That's a horrible rule in my mind. You know, you look at wrestling matches, you can tell who's going for something. I don't know why the IBJJF rule or refs can't see that. And also, something I think that would also change the game a lot and end stalling a lot too is if there was a push out rule. You know, so many forms of grappling, if you push someone out of bounds, you're rewarded for it. I think that would be great in jiu-jitsu. I don't know what kind of points or advantage or something, but that's going to push the pace. If you get pushed out one, oh, you're down. Where I've seen people penalize, they're like attacking, they're moving forward and the person backs out. I've seen people penalize for them pushing the person out of bounds. I haven't seen it as much lately. They just tell them to circle. But it's the person that's backing up's job, in my mind, to circle.
Right. That really changed the scoring in wrestling. When you added a push-out rule to wrestling,
Definitely.
Wrestling's a lot different on the edge now. It's very aggressive when you get close to the edge.
I think that would be a good rule, and it would change up the game a lot.
So. I think turnover should score, too.
What's the turnover
score? Turnover should score, too.
I think, you know, maybe a score. Maybe less than a sweep.
Yeah, because there should be an impetus to make sure you control that position.
Yeah, that's true.
Because what you can do is you can get in that position and roll over and then sweep again.
That's true.
You know, guys like Antonio are masters at that.
Yep.
Into a position where you don't get the sweep points, get in reverse, and sweeping again.
Yep, that's, you know, it's part of the game. I think that would be good if there was some sort of score or advantage, just because, like I said, you get in a street fight situation, you're not on bottom anymore. You're not getting punched. But it's not a street fight. It's a sport.
Right.
So I could see there being modifications to the rules. I remember looking at the UWW, whatever their grappling rules are now. And just looking at the rules, those looked very interesting to me. I liked looking at the rules. I liked the way it sounded. I just haven't seen them put in place yet to see how it actually works out.
I like the EIB rules, the Bravo,
Bravo
rules. And I like... I also like the submission only tournament that they just had in Rochester. That actually worked out really good too.
My thing is submission only means submission only.
Right.
There's no time limit.
Yeah, then they do the overtimes.
Yeah, I don't like overtime if there's submission only. In my mind, a submission only is it goes to submission. That's the way U.S. Grappling did it. I know you can't have a 1,000-person tournament with no points, no time limits, but and I guess you can't have a televised event like that either. But I don't know about the EBI rules. I don't necessarily like the fastest escape time. I think it should be maybe you get put in those positions and fastest submission time.
Right.
I guess it's kind of the same thing. But I don't know. I've watched some of the matches and they were exciting. And then there's some people that play, they just try to get to those the end of the round and try to escape the fastest. Like, it's any sort of sport, people are going to play the rules to win.
Right.
Sometimes it works out, it's cool. Sometimes it's like, oh man, I don't know if I want to watch this. And like the actually the combat jiu-jitsu thing,
I was just gonna bring that up.
I didn't see all the matches, but I remember the one guy is just like running at the guy and throwing his legs towards him, not even a guard pull. I don't know what the hell he was doing. And then they're smacking each other. It's like, then just do MMA. That's my thing. Like, most of those guys have fought MMA, I think. Mm-hmm. Like, then why don't you just fight MMA?
They're trying to make it a gateway to MMA so the jiu-jitsu guys don't suck as bad when the striking starts.
I don't know. But, I didn't enjoy the combat jiu-jitsu stuff from what I watched. Like, I remember, like, was it Pancration back in the day? Similar rules.
Right.
But, I don't know. That was more entertaining to me.
For people that are watching and don't know anything about combat jiu-jitsu, like Ray, on the feet, it's just like jiu-jitsu. You can't do anything. Once it hits the ground, you can do open hand strikes. Just open hand strikes, too. Oh,
and I don't want to say, like, getting hit with an open hand doesn't hurt. Oh, I don't want to play it down. I think sometimes getting hit with an open hand is even worse.
That's like, probably worse most of the time.
Yeah, because if, like, throwing a hook, I remember, like, if my hand was open, it was much harder than if my hand's closed.
Right.
So, yeah, you can definitely hurt someone. It just, man, it doesn't look cool.
It does look kind of girly.
Yeah.
Sounds like the sport for Ray.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Anyways, what do you think the best competition school in Buffalo is right now?
You know, I'm gonna say probably Lake Effect. They won that. What was it? I can't remember which one's the Buffalo Classic, which one's the Buffalo Open, but they won that last year. They have guys that go to the big tournaments. But at the same time, I don't necessarily think a competition school is best. You know, I'm sure, you know, I like a lot of those guys over there. I'm not going to talk crap. I even went over and was training some no-gi with Dave Spagata before the no-gi Worlds.
Yeah, I love Spagata.
So I'm not saying it's a bad school by any means, but I think there needs to be a happy medium in schools. And there might be there. Don't get me wrong. I've only been there to some of the noon classes, and then I went to one open mat. So I could be completely speaking out of turn. But I think if everything's focused on competition, maybe it hurts some of the students that aren't so focused on competition. But then again, maybe the school just attracts the competitors. I don't know. I know at SPAR we have some guys that are real hungry to compete, hoping that we can start hitting some of the bigger tournaments and traveling for them. We're going to have some of these homegrown blue belts popping up in the next couple months. And I think some of these guys are going to want to get out there and compete. They like competing around here. So I think there's going to be another, I don't want to say competition school, but we're going to be a school with some good competitors.
Coming
from you, you know, you're a good instructor. So.
Oh, well, thank you.
I think
I can see it coming.
I'll give you a five later.
That's how it works over here. I think Lima's probably the best competition school now, without a doubt, for jiu-jitsu. But their competitive core, have been training around everywhere for years and years and years. The blues, purples, and browns over there are been like at every school.
That's true.
And they've really come through. They've had experience with Professor Godin, Professor Dub, Chuck, everybody. So they're the
they're probably taking the best parts that they got from each of us. And you know, at the last Masters Worlds, I know a lot of them went. Unfortunately, they didn't, I can't remember what the medal count was, but honestly, when they went out there, I thought they were going to do better. I don't know what was missing. I don't want to say anything was missing. I know Antonio, I watched his match. He had a good guy. You know, that happens. You get a real good guy first match, that can ruin your tournament, let's say. Maybe you see that guy in the final. You know, it just depends on how bracketing's done. It's just luck of the draw, I guess.
That's the other thing I think IBJJF really misses out on is seeding the brackets.
I agree. It's tough because, especially at the big tournaments, at Black Belt now you have to get so many points to compete at Worlds, adult Worlds, Pans, and Euros, I think. So I think they can do some seeding now, and that's the way I think it should be, at least for adult Black Belt. You should have to go and compete throughout the year to do the Worlds. Like look at judo, wrestling. I know the IBJJF is a private company. It's not a non-for-profit or even a jiu-jitsu organization. It's just a name. But I think it's cool to see some of these big name competitors compete at the international opens at different cities. I think it's going to make jiu-jitsu better if they're making people compete throughout the year, as opposed to there's some people, they probably still have the points. Let's say if you're a world champion, I think you probably have the points to not compete the next year and just compete at Worlds. But man, I'd rather see these guys compete more than just once, twice, or three times a year. It's cool that some of these big names, like the Meow Brothers, and they're competing all the time. Well, one of them, the other one's got a suspension through the IBJJF. But I like guys who compete a lot, even if they're a big name. So.
It's going to sell people to come to your events, too.
Yeah, I think so.
Like when you have the big name black belts, I would want to be there. If I'm close, I would go.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, and that makes a big difference.
Mm-hmm. And I also kind of wish there was like, I guess they do have a couple professional tournaments, the IBJJF, but I wish there was like a black belt division and then the elite black belt division. Because you see, let's say I go to Masters Worlds, okay? I'm not the elite level jiu-jitsu guy. No one in the area at Black Belt is. You know, we've been training a while. Like, I look at the year before in my division, it's like, man, this guy's a former world champion. This guy's a former world champion. Like, it doesn't get any easier when you get to the Masters. But, like, even at Nogi Worlds, my division at Masters 1 had some pretty good guys in it. But Master 2 had, I think, two former world champions and some other pretty big names. And one of those former world champions didn't even place. Like, so that's just talking Masters. But let's say for adults, guys like, I don't know, Leandro Lowe, Nicholas Marigali, like the top echelon of competitors, I'd rather see them have an 8 or 16 person bracket as opposed to a 64 person bracket or something like that.
Right.
I'd like,
you can reward them with cash or something.
Exactly.
Too, for the big win.
And I think the matches will be more exciting because it's not like they're like, well, I just have to get through this match to get to the next round. Because there's, I don't want to say any of the black belts are bad doing these things, but there's different levels of jiu-jitsu black belt. So a guy that, you know, he works a 9-to-5 or trains every night is different than the guy who trains 3-4 times a day, gets massages, you know.
Trains like a professional. A weight training coach, a nutritionist.
Exactly, yeah. And sometimes some of these bigger guys or lesser known guys that aren't doing that, you know, they might be able to surprise some people. So there's always that chance, but I wish there was like different levels just as a fan. I'd like to see what could be the final sometimes. Let's say it's an 8-person division, you know, there's multiple possible finals that would be the first round if it's professional or if it's just the best guys.
Right.
I think that would be cool.
I know. You're just trying to win one. I know what's going on. We know.
I'm doing Masters all the way unless it's a local tournament.
What do you think about the local tournament that Ketcher's been putting on over at RealWorks?
And it's, you know, it's grown a lot. I wish they allowed one coach in to coach the adults too. I know they do with the kids, but that I don't even want to say it's like a complaint of mine, but I just think that would be a better thing for it, because I know some of the referees enforce it, some of them don't. So there just needs to be a standard that they go by, because I got kicked out for coaching, you know.
I did too.
Yeah, I see other people doing it. I'm going to do it too.
Right.
But I was kicked out for coaching, and the guy from the other school that was coaching wasn't kicked out.
That happened to me too.
Yeah. And it wasn't. I don't want to say it was like the referee was from that school. That's not the case. It just didn't happen for whatever reason. Other than that, I think the tournament's great. That springtime one man, maybe it could be held a couple weeks later to make sure it's warm.
It was cold.
Yeah, it's been cold a couple times, but I think it's great. The venue is cool. Josh and Catillus got a good thing going. Wish maybe the competition mat space was a little bit bigger, but for a local tournament, I think it's doing awesome.
I think it's great too. We're bringing in Canadians.
Yeah,
and man, Dana's school just killed it.
Yep, I think you know, the more they have it, the more people from out of town that are coming, and also, you know, more people are training in town, the more people, it's just going to keep getting bigger and bigger, so it's good.
The super fight, the last one, was pretty awesome too.
You know what? For some reason, I didn't see it. I actually don't like super fights at tournaments where they stop the tournament to do the super fight. I think it's fine to have a super fight, but keep the rest of the tournament going, in my mind.
I liked it because I got to call it, so I was happy. Okay. That was fun.
Yeah, I've just seen so many super fights. Not saying that one was, but there's so many super fights that, you know, this match could have happened in the first round of the division.
Right.
Like, I'd like super fights to be like, bring in a big name versus a local good guy, let's say, or bring in two big names mm-hmm. for a super fight. I know it's a lot of money. You know, this is.
That was crazy because they both went into divisions too after the super fight.
Yeah, exactly. So I think a super fight should be super, you know, as opposed, you know, I've seen super fights at several tournaments, not just here. You know, I've seen them in Canada, nationwide, where the super fight is two local guys. You know, I guess it's cool for the local guys, but it's not a super fight. It's
right.
Two local guys.
Yeah.
So,
what do you think about affiliations? Are you still affiliated with Alliance, first of all?
I'm not affiliated with anyone right now. I still have a good relationship with Jacques Ray. I emailed him and told him what happened, and he's completely understanding. Said, if there's anything I can ever do for you, let me know. So, it kind of sucks. You know, I really like Jacques Ray, but, you know, it's a business thing, and I don't know if W1Y MMA is still affiliated with him or not, but I'm not in a hurry, really, to get into an affiliation. I'm being recruited by a couple. I'm interested in a couple. Some of them are the same ones that I'm being recruited. Some of them aren't. Some of the ones that I'm being recruited to, I have no interest in. I just want to make sure it's going to be something beneficial both to me and my students. I don't want to jump into anything.
Can you explain to people that don't really understand what the affiliation means?
Okay. Well, it can, depending on the affiliation, it can mean a lot. Sometimes an affiliation is you get a name to attach to your school. Let's say it's, since I'm drinking a Powerade, let's say it's Team Powerade, let's say. Of course, it's not. It's a jiu-jitsu team. But maybe the only thing that you do, you pay them whatever a month, and you get to use their name. Then there's some affiliations where it's you pay them whatever the month, you get to use their name, then you have to pay them to come in for a seminar, and then there's other affiliations that they do that, and then they also help you with marketing. Some affiliations have a set curriculum to use. I think there's so many different kinds of affiliations. I know, let's say, like Gracie Baja, I don't know this for sure. This is what I'm told. Like, they handle all of the billing for you. You don't have to chase down students. They do it. I think they give you the curriculum. Like, this is just from my understanding. Every Gracie Baja school in the world is doing this week. You know, let's say it's passing guard. And I think they help you with marketing and all that. And then there's some schools, like I said, you just get the name. I'm not exactly sure what I want. I just want to explore my options and, like I said, do what's best for my students and I.
Now, do you really got to get a name or can you just use your name?
Actually, I'm registered with the IBJJF. I have my black belt registered from them. So I don't even think I need a name. However, I want to have, I want to have continued learning. I want to be able to go somewhere and learn. I want to be able to bring them here and have them teach my students. You know, jiu-jitsu's always evolving, and I sure as hell don't know everything there is in jiu-jitsu. I don't claim to. I never will. I just want to keep learning from the best sources, basically.
Cool. Before we get into Gaon Jiu-Jitsu, when you don't have an affiliation or you're not registered with the IBJJF and you're a black belt, if you're not affiliated with anyone, you can't really rank people up or at least have it be ranked up for IBJJF, right?
Yeah. So with the IBJJF, you have to, according to their rules currently, I've heard that it might be changing, you have to be a second degree black belt to award a black belt. If you're just a black belt, you can award brown, purple, blue, and then the kids' belts. If you don't want to do IBJJF tournaments, you don't have to be affiliated with them anyways. There's some lineages that don't do IBJJF. There's some lineages that don't compete. So maybe as soon as you get your black belt, you can promote someone to black belt. I don't know. There might be one that does that. So it's just... this stuff, I think, is to do with the IBJJF. Now, if you're not a black belt, you need to be associated with some sort of black belt in order to promote. You can't be some local yokel as a purple belt and be like, oh, man, I'm promoting you to purple belt. I'm sure it's happened. But I think it's best to have at least some sort of black belt, at least agreeing to the promotion, signing off on it. That's my opinion anyways.
Right, that's what Professor Chuck did for us when we were growing up,
right,
too, before he, not growing up, but going
coming
through jiu-jitsu, yeah. Before he was a black belt, he always had Master De La Hiva come in and award the belts.
Yep, I remember when I got my blue belt, Carlson Sr. agreed to it. He was supposed to do like the formal belt tying at a seminar, but unfortunately he passed away. And then when Carlson Jr. came, this was after I had my blue belt for I don't know how long, but he formally tied it on so we could have a picture of a legit black belt promoting me. So
that's awesome.
I think I got it in the old basement in Jamestown from Chuck, but you know, so it was approved, but there was nothing behind it. You know, no
Professor God is an OG, OG jiu-jitsu. Now you have your whole God and jiu-jitsu brand. Can you talk about that a little bit?
I don't want to say it's a brand.
It's a brand, man. It's a brand. You got patches. It's a brand.
It's like, you know, I got some of the patches because people were bugging me about it. Like, they're like, oh, I want a patch. I'm like, okay. So I spent $5, had my logo made on Fiverr.com or Fiverr, whatever it is, and got some patches made. And then I sold out of them. And then I didn't make any. I was like, okay, whatever. And then people slowly but were like, hey, man, when are you going to get some more patches done? Okay, I'll get some more patches done. And that's happened a few times now. I'm like, well, what about lapel patches? Okay, I'll get some lapel patches done. It's like, you know, my kids, they got new geese. They're getting new geese for Christmas, and I'm sure they're going to want patches on them. So I'll put them on. I don't want to call it like the God and Jiu-Jitsu Association. It's not that. maybe I'll probably go out and do some seminars or something. And then it was just basically a way to, you know, I do my YouTube instructional type stuff, just like a channel, and I have a Facebook page and my Instagram, God and BJJ. It's like,
so what's your YouTube page?
I don't even know.
What's the last time you did a video?
It's been a while.
Right? I remember you used to do them.
I've got some. It's one of those things. Like I have some plans for videos. It's just, I don't know. I'm lazy. It's like, I remember like, I'd be like, okay. I'd message someone. I'm like, make sure I do the video tonight. And they wouldn't show up for class, so the video wouldn't get done. And that's kind of how it is now. I've got some ideas. I've got like, you know, I actually have a GoPro instead of just using my phone. But it's just like, man, I'll do it next week.
I watched some of your videos. I learned some technique from them too.
Yeah, I have fun doing them. It's like, I don't want to put stuff out that has been out 100 times. I want to just try to do some different stuff I've learned through the years, or I don't want to say created, but stumbled upon. I'm sure it's all been done before. Usually it's stuff that I combine person A and person B's techniques and make it person C's. You know, it's like I study jiu-jitsu. I watch matches. I watch some instructional stuff. Usually I don't watch it because usually instructionals are too long for me. I get bored. But I watch matches and I see what people are doing. And then I just play around with it until I can figure it out. Or if I can't figure it out, to hell with it. I'm done with that. So,
is that how you primarily learn now? Or do you go out of town to train with black belts? Or what's going on with you now?
I'm always watching matches. Like, I used to watch a lot more. Now I don't have quite as much time. But any chance I get when I can go out of town to train, I'm jumping on it. If I can learn from purple belt, I can learn from a blue belt. Because, like I said, everyone's jiu-jitsu is different. They might do something a hair different than what I've seen before, and it just makes a world of difference.
Yes, everyone's body type's a little different too. Exactly. So it just changes the way you do moves.
Yeah.
I always like to try and find someone that's close to my body type to learn from.
You know what? I always thought that. I'm like, oh, let me watch people my body type. And I have learned a lot from that. But I've watched people that are smaller. I've watched people that are bigger. And it's like, well, that works for me. It's like, because just because we have the same body type doesn't mean we have the same athleticism or flexibility. So I see where that comes from. Like, I used to think that, well, if your body is like Bushesha, watch Bushesha. If your body is like the Mendez brothers, watch the Mendez brothers, which, you know, it's a good idea to do that. But don't just be so focused on those guys. Look elsewhere, too.
Gotcha. I learned something from Professor.
Yeah.
What is it about you that inspires such a following? I still see guys at WNY wearing their God and patches around and people like you. Why do you think that is?
I don't know.
Man, that was the worst answer ever.
No, I think I try to, I don't, it sounds dumb, but I try to keep it real. You know, I'm doing that in air quotes. You know, I never try to be anything that I'm not. If I don't know something, I'll admit it. I don't try to just fake my way through stuff. If so, like if someone asks me a question and I don't know, I'll tell them I don't know. But I'm going to try to find out for you. You know, I've had that happen. Well, what do you do when this happens? I'm like, well, that hasn't happened to me. So if I can't figure it out or if I don't know, you know, I'm going to study and I'm going to get back to them. And I think that maybe that's it. I try to have fun. I'm not too serious, but I'm not too joking either. I think I'm kind of in the middle. I don't know.
I don't know. Matt Flores loves you, so I know you got to be a pretty good guy because he's a good guy.
What's up, Flores Bros?
Yeah, Flores Brothers Jiu-Jitsu.
Yeah, they got their own brand there.
They got their own brand, too. They're trying to copy.
Those guys are tough, man. Watch for their collar drags, just so you know.
Yeah. That's all right. Jose's going to get tired after I dragged it down, so it's no big deal. Oh,
his cardio was getting better before I left. It is getting better. Man, so.
I bet him $10 he couldn't make it through my kids' class comp team, and he didn't show up. So I got to put that out there. Ray didn't show up either, though.
What?
I put that in a thread. BJJ. Are you in the BJJ thread?
No.
Oh, all right. Next time I'll challenge you. Next Friday, 2 Fridays from now, I'll come to the comp team. Kids class comp team. See if you make it through.
Okay.
All right.
Ray's picturing himself as Kramer on that Seinfeld episode of beating up the kids. It's not going to happen.
Dakota's your size, dude. Dakota's your size. You're not going to beat him up. I'm telling you. He's 12 years old. He's going to give you a run for your money.
He's a big kid, man.
He's tough. What do you think about kids competing?
You know, I go back and forth. I think it's going to depend on the kid. I'd hate to say, like, it depends on their maturity level because, you know, some kids you might think are immature, they can't handle losing or something, and then they go out there and either destroy people. You know, there's those kids that are just the mouse. That, you know, they're quiet, mm-hmm. and they go out and they compete and they're fierce. And then there's the kid who's, like, real confident, and they go out there and lose, let's say, and they're just devastated. I think any kid can compete, but you shouldn't put so much emphasis on winning. Kids should go out there to have fun. And also, I hate to see kids getting hurt and stuff. Of course, my son's competed. I'll encourage my kids' class to compete. It's not required, but just like with the adults, I think if you compete, it's going to help you out. When you roll with the same people all the time, they know what you're doing. You know what they're doing. You go out there and compete. That person doesn't know what you like to do. You don't know what they like to do. So you really get to see what your jiu-jitsu is up to. Whether you win or lose, you're going to come back with something. If you lose, you're like, well, how did I lose? What am I going to do to correct that?
I think it's great life lessons for the kids.
Yeah, man. I agree. I just think it's at that thing where you just have to present it to the kids in the right way, you know?
Yeah.
I know I've gone to tournaments and there's parents or coaches screaming, break it, break it.
Yeah, some of the coaches are brutal, you know?
Yeah, it's like, man, what the hell? These are kids.
I know, we're here to get them better, to get them out of training for 8 weeks.
You know, and especially like as a kid through wrestling, I saw those parents that were like screaming at their kid and or they push their kids so hard. The kids don't want to do it, you know, and that's something like I've never agreed with. Don't push your kids so hard that it's going to have the opposite effect. you know, you should push them to do their best, right? But it shouldn't be the thing where, like, I just hate seeing parents that are so insane about the kids. You know, I'm so happy my kid loves jiu-jitsu. My daughter's about to start jiu-jitsu.
He's just smiling the whole time, man. Yeah. He's taking people down. It's awesome.
I don't push him to do it. Fortunately, he just likes it so much. I get to use it, you know. Hey, if you don't behave, you're not going to jiu-jitsu. you know, I know kids, like, when I was a kid, if their parents said that, they're like, all right, I'm not behaving because I don't want to go to wrestling. Yeah.
I remember I was wrestling in junior college, and this is just a story for parents out there that are listening and have kids that really want to push them so hard. And he would just pray every day that he'd break his shoulder or something, that he couldn't wrestle. He's in junior college. He's still scared of his parents. Yeah. He still has to wrestle. That is damaging to people.
Yeah, it's like a lot of parents, like, try to put their dreams into their kids. You know, this dad wrestled and he was an okay wrestler. He wants his son to be a great wrestler. It might happen. It might not. But don't push it so hard, I guess.
No one's making the worlds from 12-year-old kids.
Yeah, exactly.
Or under, for sure.
So what's a good age for a kid to start jiu-jitsu?
Again, I think it's going to depend on the kid. I used to think, you know, maybe kids should start, you know, 8, 9. I know. But now, like, teaching my daughter, like, even today at open mat, my daughter came. And before we started doing technique or rolling, I was just playing with my daughter. And I was teaching her. I taught her a foot sweep. And she just picked it up like that. Like, kids pick up things so easy. And she was having so much fun. Like, she'd foot sweep me and just burst in the laughter. And I taught her the arm bar. And same thing when I taught my son. Same thing. They like it. I think grappling is kind of natural. You know, it's somewhere in our DNA. You see monkeys wrestling around. So I guess it's just hidden in there. Some people find it. Some people don't.
He's calling you a monkey, Ray.
I am. Oh, yeah.
I'm a gorilla.
There we go.
You just throw leg kicks. We haven't got you the grappling part yet. We're going to get you back.
Okay.
I heard Professor Gahn is the one that ranked you up, right?
Oh, yeah. When I was, you know, on jiu-jitsu class. Yeah.
How many stripes do you have from back then, Ray? It's been a couple years probably now.
Got one.
Got one?
No, actually, I got two, I think. Let's
go two.
I do think you have two.
Yeah, I do.
You have two on your belt at least. I don't know how many you were awarded, but you're wearing two.
You know, it's like, so you took time off. You got to come back, right?
Yeah.
Wherever you're training, just come back and start training. That's
it. Come work out with me, man. I'm always
there.
It's just been kind of hard.
You were doing privates with Brandon before your fight. That was awesome.
Yeah, Brandon was cool. I like to do more private lessons. You know, it opened up my eyes.
You need some car repairs, so now's a good time. You get a good deal. Professor Gordon, do you offer privates for your students?
I do privates.
They're not doo-doo either.
Yeah, I do privates for students. I do it for anyone. Like, I'm able to do privates at SPAR if you're a member or not. Cool. I also have a matted space in my basement I do privates in. If you're ever interested in private, let me know.
Yeah, make sure you hit up Professor Gahn. He knows a lot of good stuff. I watch him teach.
You know what? I'm going to wait for my son to get a little older because he's two, but he likes to wrestle and do all this other stuff. I would like to test him out.
I'll challenge match him.
He's going to put Augusto against him. Augusto's going to throw him on his head. You better look out. Augusto's tough, man.
He is tough.
He's like, tough.
Honestly, I love, like, I used to think before I had kids, man, I was like, man, kids are so annoying. But now that I have kids and I'm always around kids, you know, whether it was at daycare or school. And now they're not annoying to me anymore for some reason. Maybe that's what it takes when you become a parent. But I just love being around them. They're full of energy. They just love to have fun. They pick up things, languages, skills, any sort of skills so fast. I try to learn stuff. Takes me forever. Kids, boom, they get it the first try.
That's just the way they learn, too. Yep. And they really pick up your personality, too. And that's one of the reasons why I like to have quality people around the kids when we do kids class.
I completely agree.
Yep. That's going back to our earlier point. You don't want bad touchers teaching
exactly,
your kids.
Exactly, yes.
For sure.
Yeah, for sure.
What do you think about cross-training, Professor?
I think it's fine. You know, especially open mats, go to them if they have. You know, I know Lake Effect has an open mat that's open for anyone. WNY MMA has an open mat that's open for anyone. If you get a chance, go check them out. It's not going to be the same energy as a competition, but it's good to go against other people. I think if there's class, wherever you're training at, go to your class. You know, you're already paying for it. But at the same time, if one of my students wants to go to a different class, it's not going to bring me to tears.
Yes.
As long as you're just trying, you know, you're trying to get better, there's different ways to get better. Maybe you need to go to a different class. Maybe you need to see a different perception of jiu-jitsu. So I have no problems with if my students want to go check out something else, go ahead. And same thing, anyone's always welcome at SPAR. You want to come over, check it out? Check it out. No issues.
Do you worry about losing students if they go try open mat?
No.
SPAR, I think, got the price is great. Jiu-jitsu classes.
What's the price?
Oh, I guess I'm a salesman now.
Yeah, you got to sell it. You got to sell it. That's what we do.
SPAR is $99 a month, unlimited jiu-jitsu training, no contracts. I don't want to say the price if it's with Krav Maga 2, just because I can't remember if it's one or two prices, so I don't want to give the wrong one. Right. But it's not much more than $99 if you want to do jiu-jitsu and Krav Maga. So.
Awesome. Yeah. That's a good deal.
I'm confident in I don't want to say my product, but the jiu-jitsu I'm teaching. I'm not worried about losing students. If they leave, you know, I'm sad to see them go. But at the same time, if it's better for them, great. You know, it's the same thing. Like, I left training under Chuck. You know, I'm sure it ended up being better for me. And in the long run, it was probably better for him, too. So,
here's a question that people might be thinking while they're sitting around, and I'm sure a lot of people are going to ask, if they sign up, are you definitely going to stay there for a long time? Or
yeah.
Is that your goal to teach how to spar, or are you still trying to start your own place?
No, my goal's completely spar. The owners and I have the same goals. It worked out. And we're looking to build a great program. It's already started, so I'm really excited about it.
That's awesome. I want to make sure I ask that because some people asked me that when I said I was having you on, so I want to make sure I get that one in there.
Yeah, I'm at SPAR. Like I said, the owners and I have the same goals, and it's going to get bigger, it's going to get better, and jiu-jitsu for everyone.
What do you think about that affiliation?
About the Lake Effect?
No, the Jiu-Jitsu for Everyone, yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure it's probably out there somewhere. I know there was Jiu-Jitsu for the People. What is that one? The Jiu-Jitsu for Life, which is like the Toronto BJJ guys.
Right.
And then I know Gracie Baja has, what is it? Jiu-Jitsu. It's not their association, but their slogan is something like Jiu-Jitsu is for Everyone. Jiu-Jitsu, I can't remember what it is. And I don't necessarily agree with that. Jiu-Jitsu is not for everyone. You know, if someone wants to come check out Jiu-Jitsu, you know, I don't suggest just trying one class because it might grow on you. You might fall in love with it. But, you know, if you go to it and you're like, man, I really don't like this, don't keep doing it, you know. It should be fun. That's my thing, you know.
Sparring for the first little bit is not fun. What's the best way for a new person to get good at jiu-jitsu and survive sparring?
You know, the best way to get better at jiu-jitsu is
keep training.
Yeah.
Right.
There's no secrets. The more you train, the better you're going to get. I don't force my students to spar. I think everyone does spar. But let's say, I don't want to spar tonight. There's some nights that I don't spar, you know. Sometimes I'm feeling beat up. Sometimes I don't feel well, or sometimes I just, you know, I need a break. But I think the more you, it's just like training. The more you spar, the better you're going to get. So I think if you're training consistently, sparring consistently, you're going to show greater improvement than someone that comes to class once this week, three times the next, doesn't show up for 2 weeks. You know, the more time you're on the mat, the better. So.
I like that. That's an awesome answer. It can be intimidating to spar a little bit too, but that's the best part about jiu-jitsu, I think.
Yeah,
I love it.
I agree. And also with like a brand new beginner, I'm going to pair them up with someone that I think is good to roll with. Right now, like at spar, there's no one that's like going to go there and try to rip your head off. Everyone's cool. But, you know, in previous places that I trained, I'd be like, hey, let's have you roll with this person. You know, I don't want to say, hey, let's not roll with that person, but I'm gonna try to avoid them getting hurt. You know, I don't want to see someone on their first day get hurt. You know, sometimes it happens, unfortunately, but you know, you just have to take care of your training partners, whether they're, you know, you've been your training partner for 10 years or it's their first day. Always keep, you know, if you don't have training partners, you're not going to get better. And the same thing, if you can help your training partners get better, help them. It's going to, in turn, get you better. You know, the better your training partners are, the better you have to be.
Do you think looking out for training partners is one of the things that the instructor should be doing during class? Like, make sure that there's not a mismatch of pairings?
Yeah, I try to do that for sure. Like, again, like at SPAR right now, everyone's cool. But in the previous times that I've taught at different places, sometimes, you know, I'm going to have Meathead over here go with, like, one of the tough competitor guys, you know,
right,
as opposed to Meathead here go with, oh, this is your first day, let's have you go with him, you know. there's some people that are just, you know, their training or their sparring, let's say, that's their world championship. You know, they think that's the everything. Oh, I beat this guy today. I swept him. You know, they're keeping notes or something. Who cares who you beat at training? Who cares who you swept? I don't care if I get beat. I'll take that back. Sometimes, you know, if someone's beating me with the same thing over and over again and I can't figure it out, you know, of course it's going to piss me off. But it's not, I'm not mad at them. I'm mad at myself for not being able to get it. But it's like, if you beat them this day, they might beat you the next. No matter what if you're training, it's going to help you out. Don't worry, you know, at the end of the night, hey, you lost, you got beat every roll, who cares? Maybe the next night, you win one roll. It's going to be a different journey for everyone. I've lost so many times. Well, it's not a loss, but let's say get tapped out while rolling so many times. I've been swept so many times. It's no big deal, man. It's not going to make you, you know, people aren't going to be like, oh, man, he sucks. Like, they're going to think, oh, man, he sucks if you get beat and then you just hobble off the mat and don't spar ever again, you know.
Did you feel like there was a big target on your back when you got your black belt?
Honestly, I tell this to whenever I promote someone, or maybe not whenever, but I try to. When you get that new belt, let's say you get your blue belt, all your white belt friends, they're trying to kill you. You know, they're like, oh, he's a blue belt, I got to give it to him. Like, you know, oh, he's a purple belt, I'm going to kill him. He's a brown belt, I'm going to kill him. And yeah, when I got my black belt, it was like, you know, I was rolling with this person last week, and it was like, oh, yeah, we're rolling. And now it's like, oh, my God, they're trying to kill me.
That's how I felt when I got my brown belt, man. Like, some of my blue belts really turned it up. I'm like, yep. Jesus Christ. I was already purple.
And it might not even be, like, a conscious thing. It just happens. People want to go harder with you. You're a higher rank. You know, they're like, well, if I beat them, that means I'm really good.
Man, I'm scared to be black belt. I want the white belts to tap me out, man.
Yeah, they're going to try to make a name for themselves.
That might be it, too. Like, especially, I think sometimes students are like, oh, is the instructor watching me? Did they see me beat them? Did they see me? Oh. Did you see me beat him, coach? Man, I don't care if you beat him. Did you use the technique that I've been trying to teach you or that we've been learning? Or did you do some crazy muscle stuff? You know, I'd rather see you lose trying stuff that were working as opposed to win going apeshit on someone, you know?
Do you think that's an ego thing, or do you think it harks back to the days when that's how we got promoted, by beating the higher belts?
I don't know. I don't want to see... Let's say I don't want to see a brown belt go out there and do their best and get beat by five brand new first day white belts, let's say, you know. But at the same time, that brown belt, you know, you're going to lose to a white belt. It's no big deal. You know, back in the old days, I think, you know, I'd be like, man, that guy's a blue belt and he got beat by that white belt. You know, it was a different mentality back
then.
That's
what I think still today. I know it's wrong, but I still think that today, like at times. Like, yeah, Jesus Christ.
It probably takes a little bit to get out of it. Like, it's that old school mentality. Like, you've got to win to be good, right? But it's not that. It's like, I lose all the time. Maybe I'm trying something new. I'm trying to implement something new in my game, and I've got to figure it out. Maybe I'm playing my old game, and they're just beating me. Like, it's all right. You know, I want all my students to beat me. You know, if I'm teaching them well enough that they're beating me, oh, awesome. You know, I'm doing my job. I want to make them the best possible. So,
plus, by the time you're brown and black, you're piling up those injuries.
That's true.
We're not the same as we were at blue and purple.
Yeah, I don't bend quite as much as I used to.
I think that cusp between blue and purple is probably the best that you are as a jiu-jitsu player, like physically.
Yeah, I think. Well, it also depends on everyone's age. And then there's some guys, you know, I've rolled with some guys that are like deep in the Masters division, and they're not slowing down one bit.
Oh,
like,
imagine what they were 20 years ago.
That's probably true. Yeah. I've definitely, it's like, you know, getting older, you start where you start having some aches and pains, and then you're not recovering quite as fast as you used to, and then it's like you're sore all the time. And like Dan Donahue's in town. What was it, on Tuesday? I rolled with him for like 55 minutes straight. And the next day, I was dead. I had nothing left.
You didn't look sweaty in the picture at all.
Oh, that picture was from a different night.
Oh, all right. I was going to say, he looked disgusting. Like 55 minutes with him, you're not even sweating. No, I was going to say, that's awesome.
That was from a different night. I was dripping. I was probably pale. I was probably knocking on death's door.
How did that go? You just had Dan Donahue in town.
Yeah, it was awesome. He showed some, let's think, he showed some Dele Hiva stuff, some collar drag stuff from the butterfly guard, some single leg X stuff, like just stuff that was awesome. It's great to have people that are like at these awesome schools that can bring you the newest of techniques. Like, that's something else I want to do. I want to always be able to bring good guys in to help my students. You know, I admit I don't have all the most up-to-date techniques because, you know.
Because you have a real job.
I have a job. I have kids. And we're in Buffalo. We're not in the hotbed of jiu-jitsu. So it takes a little bit longer for those techniques to get here. Nothing wrong. Like, I love Buffalo. Don't get me wrong. But we're not near any of the hotbeds. I guess New York City, hotbed, Toronto. But, you know, it's Buffalo. You know, we've got our own thing going. So.
All right. I'd be remiss if I don't ask you about this while I have you on the podcast. We already talked that we're in Buffalo. What's up with the people that park in front of your yard all the time?
Oh, yeah.
Man, so my neighbor's driveway, or my neighbor's parking pad, I guess I think it's an illegal cut because it's double wide parking. And my driveway, let's say, is only like a single cut. We have two parking spots, but just one single curb cut. And theirs is double curb cut. So the spot between mine and theirs, it is small, but I can park my SUV there and it fits. So these people that pull up in their like whatever car, you can park in the spot. And honestly, the street hasn't been paved in so long. There's spots where if you just go slow enough, your car is going to sink into the tire spots. Like, you can park there, trust me. But for some reason, they're always blocking my driveway, whether it be 6 inches. I've had people park several feet into my driveway. Honestly, it doesn't drive me as nuts as it used to, but I love posting it on Facebook just because, I don't know, I've got fans for it or something. I guess.
I think you need to get a car you could just back into those cars with.
I thought about it sometime. Yeah. There was this one car that was always blocking my driveway. And that winter, it was probably 2, maybe 3 years ago, the car was parked. And for some reason, it caught on fire. I had nothing to do with it. But
you better be careful what you say on here. That's kind of incriminating.
No, I had nothing to do with it. It must have been karma. And actually, I'm friends with the guy now, so it's weird. But his car was always blocking my driveway. And now he has an SUV. He parks there, and it fits magically.
That's crazy because I don't even really know you that well, but I feel like I know you just from that Facebook, from the post that you have with the driveway all the time. As soon as I see that, I think about you because that happens in my house sometimes too. I'm like, man, got him. Go kick that car.
Actually, my friend Paul gave me some like tickets like that you can write out. And I haven't used any on any of the cars yet. I put one on Big John's truck one time. He took a picture in front of my house with it blocked. So I came to the gym and gave him a ticket. I don't know. I don't think it's been happening as much lately, or maybe I'm gone more often. But it's just like I live off in North Buffalo and it's on the upswing. There's so many people come in to eat or go out, go to the theater. It's just the street gets packed. So,
yeah, that's sad. It makes me upset when I see it too. But I think about you every time, so yeah, it works out.
I want to be a parking vigilante, but I guess
we could get you a suit. We got to get you a spandex suit.
Be like the Punisher.
Yeah. That's a great show.
Yeah, just, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, I can't afford any of the fines that I'd get from destroying people's cars. So.
All right, so you're teaching on a spar, and can anyone just drop in for a class, or how does that work?
Yeah, we're welcome. Anyone can drop in. If I know you, just let me know ahead of time, and I'll let them know at the front desk to be expecting you. If I don't know you and you want to send me a message, I can't promise that I'll see it because I just saw on Facebook that someone sent me a message months ago about a referee question, and I seriously just saw it today. For some reason, if I'm not friends with you on Facebook. I didn't realize it didn't pop up like the rest of the messages.
Yeah, you have to go back and search it.
Yeah, so I just messaged the guy. I'm like, I just saw this today. But yeah, anyone's welcome. We don't believe in any sort of jiu-jitsu politics. We're cool with everyone. So
go check out Spar. I mean, you can't get better instruction. I trained with you just a few times, but every time I train with you, I loved it, man.
Well, thank you.
I have to come and get some training with you.
Yeah, you're welcome. Ray, you're welcome. So I have to warn you, there are some police officers that train there, though.
Oh, you better not go there, Ray.
Oh, damn.
Stick with WMY. Stay away from Herbert. Wow. Man, Ray has not been here for one law enforcement episode ever.
I know. That's why I brought this up.
Ray, what are you hiding in your closet?
Hey, man. I don't got, just got my clothes in there, okay?
All right. Any Christmas plans?
You know, this is the first Christmas, I think, since I've been married that we're just staying home. And I'm glad. Just driving around over the past few days, traffic's insane. People are driving like idiots, so it's good to just be able to stay home, hang out with the kids.
I can't believe I got you in here Christmas Eve Eve.
Christmas Eve Eve. It's all right. Kids are at home playing. Wife's home. I went took my daughter to open mat today. I didn't expect this weather, but it wasn't too bad.
Yeah, we had our kids' Christmas party today. It was pretty fun. And then it made me pretty late getting here, though. It was really shitty out driving.
Yeah, definitely. And then this morning, I didn't expect that ice. I got up, you know, got ready to go. I'm like, man, I should have gotten up early and gotten the car warmed up and scraped. Yeah,
I turned on my windshield wipers and all the rubber came off the passenger side one. I'm like, oh, geez, now I got to get a windshield wiper today, too. What a mess.
Yeah.
Stupid snow. All right, well, thank you for coming out, man. I appreciate it. We got almost an hour and a half in.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Yeah, we did awesome. Spar's great. Check out Gotten. And yeah. Last words.
Yeah, if you want to check out Spar on the internet, the website is spardefense.com, and there's a separate jiu-jitsu website that has a little more information, which is BrazilianJiu-JitsuBuffalo.com, I believe. Let me double-check that. You can check me out on Facebook. There's the Gotten BJJ page, and if you're on Instagram, Gotten BJJ. Yeah, it's BrazilianJiu-JitsuBuffalo.com. And that's got all the schedules and stuff on it if you're looking for
and
that.
And then what's the physical address of Spar?
Oh, good question.
Eggert Road, that's all I know.
Yeah, it's at Eggert and Sheridan. It's next to the DMV there.
Yep.
It's 2309 Eggert Road, Tonawanda, 14150. And the number is 835-7727.
If you're coming down Sheridan, you'll see it for sure.
Yeah, it's
you
a
can't miss it. It's
great
a
location.
Facility.
Yeah, it's like, awesome. Yeah, yeah.
You can see it right from the street either way.
Yeah,
I've been in there one time.
Yeah, was it nice?
It was nice.
My wife went there for the self-defense. She said it was really nice, too, and everything was super clean.
Yeah, it's...
I like the room they got. They got the pool table, like they're in a bar, yeah. And they attack you and shit.
Yep. Like, I've trained, seriously, all over America, Canada. I've been to Brazil. I've never seen a place this nice. Like, it's beautiful, and you go into it, you don't smell sweat. Like, wow. Everyone's sweating, and everyone's working hard, but it's kept so clean. It's so nice, like... Guarantee it's the cleanest place around.
I gotta go check that out, then.
I'm gonna check it out.
I like clean places.
I might do a jiu-jitsu class there.
You should with Professor Gunn. I got one more question for you.
Sure.
I know I should ask this a long time ago, but you used to keep up with all the rankings in Buffalo. Are you going to try and keep that up or what? I know we haven't seen that updated in a long time.
Yeah, so on the Nickel City BJJ Facebook page, I used to try to keep everyone's promotions from all the schools kept up to date, but honestly, there's like the amount of schools has probably like doubled since then. The amount of colored belts is more than doubled.
I was never on that list, by the way.
Really?
Yeah, you never had me on there.
I apologize.
That's all right. Well, that's why I brought it up.
I told people, man, if I missed anyone, send it and I'd add it. But it just got to the point, like, man, there's so many blue belts, so many purples, and now there's tons of browns. You know, there's, I don't even know how many blacks there are in Buffalo now, but, you know, it's a lot compared to just a couple of years ago. So
someone take over Professor Gunn, at least get the browns and blacks on there.
Yeah, someone said that they were going to do it, and then I can't remember who it was. I sent them all the information, and they just didn't follow through with it. I think they probably realized, man, this is a lot of work.
I'll do it.
You won't do it.
Ray's not going to do it.
Ray doesn't do anything. We never even went to Cameron's yet. I'm still waiting for your response on Facebook.
I told you. I told you I was off that weekend.
Yeah. I messaged him, and I included you in there. You never messaged back yet.
No, you didn't. No.
Yeah. Let me tell you, if you're going to down to Jamestown, you got to drive the extra 20 minutes to Warren, Pennsylvania, and get Napoli's pizza.
Oh, okay.
Really?
Yes. Best pizza in the world.
Yeah, I think we're going to Frewsburg, too. So
Frewsburg's even closer. Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Cameron's a man.
Yeah, and Cameron's awesome.
Go down and train at Kinetics. What do you think about them, Josh?
Yeah,
you
they're
train
awesome.
With him?
I've never trained with him. We did a tournament. I can't remember what year it was. We had, can't even remember how many matches, but I know he beat me. And he's a tough guy, for real.
Dude, he's a stud.
He's a stud.
Professional football player. That's what
yeah,
happens.
Yeah, I know, man.
Oh, I do stand shit. Up with him.
I wouldn't want to get kicked by that guy for sure. He's a tough guy. He's good. And like following him on Instagram, he's dedicated for sure, man.
Yeah, so. He's another. I figured that you guys have probably crossed paths at least once or twice, same weight class.
Yeah, we did, I think, that one tournament. And then, like, I know, like, our training, I think he may have started a little after me, so we weren't training at the same time and while we were in Jamestown. But seems like every interaction that I had with him, nice guy, so cool.
Yeah, he's always left the door open for me. I trained up at Kinetics a bunch of times. I really like him, too.
Is it safe to drink the water in Jamestown?
I don't know. I don't drink any of the water. Yeah. But I do eat at Phil and Cindy's right next door to Kinetics. That's a good place.
Okay.
I'd bring a bottle of water just in case.
I don't even drink the bottled water at Kinetics. I bring my own. Just in case. You never know.
There's something going on in Jamestown. I don't know if it's the water, but yeah, it's the wild, wild west.
It's going to turn you into Wadsworth.
I'm probably going to get pulled over thinking I got drugs in my car.
What do you think about Jay? Jay Wadsworth.
Jay, man. I've seen some of his those jiu-jitsu techniques that I know he did that DVD with Bernardo, maybe even a couple DVDs. But, man, I'll say I've heard people in the past talk crap on Jay, but let me say right now, Jay has a better record, more wins than all the rest of us black belts combined. Jay's a tough guy. And, you know, he's doing the defensive tactics stuff with the police, and that looks like he's doing really well with that. More power to him. Like, I think that's great. A lot of police forces probably need that. Everyone's training.
Please
don't train them. They might put me in a chokehold.
Man, Ray, that's why you got to train. So you can get away.
You should always be ranked higher than a policeman trying to get you. Should be at least a third degree black belt by now.
Jeez. Yeah, so all those guys in Jamestown, Cameron too. Like,
yeah, Cameron's
everyone's
tough too.
Good.
I want to. Me and Cameron are going to have a $50 super fight. The winner's going to donate $50 to the other one's charity.
Nice, that's awesome.
Yeah, I beat him last time though, so we better look out. Cameron's doesn't got the cardio to hang with me,
but he got God in his side.
He does have God on his side. Maybe I'll have Professor Godin on my side though. We'll see who's got more power. Damn. All right, last question. I know I'm way over our time, but what do you think about Professor Chuck? That's the question I ask every black belt because everyone goes through him sooner or later.
Well, let's see. You know, I think he helped me get a good base in jiu-jitsu, a good fundamental base, even some more advanced stuff. I think, you know, he was only a purple belt at the time when I was learning from him. So maybe some of that fundamental base wasn't quite right or quite as good as it could have been. But he taught me a lot, even some more advanced stuff. Like, I still use stuff that I learned from Chuck. You know, Chuck's Chuck. It's like, I give him credit. He does it his way. You know, if, you know, he thinks something, that's it. And, I got to respect that. Like, he's not going to sell out what he thinks. You know, I give him a lot of credit. I don't know what goes on at a school. I don't know anyone that trains there. I guess I know a couple of people that train there and, you know, they're all cool. So no issues with Chuck. I don't have any issues with anyone anymore. I'm too old to care, I guess. You know, I don't want to waste any, like, have any negative energy. I've got enough, you know, got enough going on where just try to be positive, you know.
Perfect, man. That's a great way to close the show.
Oh, yeah.
Yep. All right. Let's get out of here. Thank you very much for coming in, Professor. We'd love to have you. And anytime you want to come back, the door's always open for you.
All right. Thank you.
All right.
Caveman Corner coming from the FanDuzzy Studios. We are out of here.
You did a lot better than that one.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, good stuff.
I'm paranoid about hitting the microphone this whole time.
You did awesome. You're the only guest we had that didn't one time.
As soon as I take off the headphones.